Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is within my affordability, I will consider getting it.
So she gets what she wants, basically.
Yeah,
exactly. With the approval of Tabitha.
See, that's the hard part, right? When you talk about within my affordability, that's why I have to like be very careful and rein myself in a lot, is because not much isn't in that affordability range. Ooh. Right? No flex.
You're not gonna say flex on that first. You're not gonna say flex on that.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, everybody's favorite bad guy. Join my co-host Buff and Rozzy. Fellas, tell them what's on your mind.
I shouted out X-Men 97 last show, and I just want to say it was everything that I expected and more. I am super pleased at the first two episodes. Man, it was just dope seeing it. I'm so happy they gave my boy Cyclops some love. He looks like a real leader on there. He's still lame. He's still a Boy Scout.
Yeah,
okay. But
yeah, because I'm going to say he's always been lame.
Yeah, but it's still, it's like, yeah,
he definitely leveled up. He leveled up.
Yeah. That superhero landing, I mean, just chef's kiss, man. It was great. So it's just so much in the show that they did a really good job of introducing the characters again. Like, my kids watched it with me, and they really don't know the X-Men like that. So it was a good way for them to introduce the power sets and everything like that, but at the same time, keep a coherent kind of storyline going. And then just the cliffhanger at the end of episode two, man. I'm excited for episode three. I'm ready to keep watching on.
Yeah. I'm proud of you for not making any spoilers. Z's a little distraught about the cliffhanger. Like, she was pissed. But at the same time, I will say, and I think I mentioned the other day, I was binging the current X-Men, or I've been watching the current X-Men, and I'm on the final episodes of season five, the last season, which I don't remember at all. But this show, or the writing on the show, but have you seen any of it? I would dare say that I feel like the writing of this show was made for the adults who watched the show in the 90s. It's not a kid's writing. There's some adult themes as far as relationships and stuff like that. They really hit on a lot of the mutant hate, and they make it relevant today. And even though they keep it in 1997, the mutant hate, the friends of humanity, but I'm just saying, like, their disdain for the government and how they react, you know, like it very, very reminiscent of January 6th, you know. So it's really good writing, and I'm surprised, thoroughly surprised. Whoever writing that might need to write the next X-Men movie. So
yeah.
My bad. Continue.
Other things, a couple shows out right now. I don't know if I mentioned Shogun on here or not. I think I mentioned that it was coming. But if you guys haven't started watching Shogun, if you like kind of Japanese history, that type of thing, it's super dope. I think they only dropped four episodes so far, but it's a recreation of Shogun from like 1970. They had a show, it's a book, and it's Game of Thrones in the real world. So it's really, really good when you look at kind of the politics of Japan and how they had to navigate and everything. So if you haven't checked that out, go check that out. Last thing that I'm super excited about is that the trailer for Star Wars The Acolyte dropped. And for the Star Wars nerds out there, The Acolyte is going to be set in, like, before the prequels, way, way, way back in the High Era. And so it's when kind of the first Sith came around. So it's a totally different take on Skywalkers, and you don't have to worry about that. It really is just kind of a cool Star Wars story. So looks dope. Go check it out. It drops June 4th. On my birthday, so that's what I'll be doing on my birthday, is watching that. And that's all I got. Other than, are you guys gonna talk about March Madness at all? Because if not, UAB, go. I'm excited. They lost in the first round, but they played a really, really good game against San Diego State, and then Oakland coming out of nowhere to beat Kansas. Man, that was or Kentucky. I mean, that was crazy. So the upsets have been abounding in this March Madness and this NCAA tournament. So it's been kind of fun. It's been cool to watch. I've been really watching a lot more basketball than I usually watch based on that. So it's fun times. And the females, man, it's been crazy.
Yeah, I haven't watched any male games. It's all been the female games. It's been women's basketball. Call it what they want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all I got, man.
Good stuff. I got quite a bit, and I just added this nugget as you were talking about shows. Be sure and check out Shirley on Netflix, starring Regina King. Documents pretty much the time frame of Shirley Chisholm, Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm, first Black woman elected to Congress from Brooklyn. It talks about her run for president and just, you know, everything that she went through with that. And it just reminded me of a debate I was having with someone about feminism as we know it is not meant for Black women. And this could be a reach, and the writers probably were not thinking this, but when I heard the line, because there's a point in the movie where she says, "Where are they? I was there for white women. Why won't they support me?" And I was like, that is, like, exactly. Feminism is not meant for Black women. But I want to pivot from that. We could talk about that another time. I was talking to some coworkers, man, and just, you know, a lot of my coworkers work a lot of overtime, and it got to the point to where it was beginning to scare me. Like, I try not to pick up any extra overtime. And so I was like, do y'all know something I don't know? Like, am I going to be broke when I'm 60? Like, what is going on? And there was a lot of their answers were the same. Like, you know, childcare is a mother. I got another one on the way. And childcare ain't cheap. And I just, you know, I always knew I was blessed that Tabitha worked in that field, and we never really had to pay for childcare. But it just reminded me of how blessed we were when Jasmine was a baby. And we spent all those years virtually paying no childcare. On top of that, her being a director a lot of those years, Jasmine got preferential treatment. You know, you got the boss's daughter in your class. Of course you're going to look out for her.
So that's why y'all y'all balling. You didn't have to pay for daycare.
And just the whole peace of mind thing, too. Like, I know for new first-time parents, when you first send your kid off to daycare, you know, you worry, are they going to be okay? Are they going to be treated right? Like, that was one less thing that I had to worry about with my daughter being at the same facility that my wife was at. So it just reminded me of that blessing that I wanted to throw out there. We talked about Nelly last week and whether or not his era was more difficult than today's era. I want to amend my answer, and I really could do this every episode. Every episode I listen to, I'm like, man, I should have said this, I should have said that. But in this particular one, I'm just going to say, it's not that it's more difficult than it is now. It's just different.
Right.
And that's the correct answer. It's just different. Like, it was harder to get discovered when Nelly was out. It's hard to get discovered today because so many people have access to it. And I think that's probably the more accurate answer. And last but not least, Apple, man, everybody's favorite cell phone company, except for me. I like their stock prices, though. But they have become a target of the Department of Justice. They are now being taken, I think they're being sued or taken to court or whatever for a monopoly. And this comes after being hit with a fine by the EU for $2.7 billion.
Yep.
And so now they're dealing with this. So their stock prices kind of took a hit. I believe it allowed Microsoft to become the most valuable company for a while. But that's just interesting to see how they deal with that and if things will be changing for them or if they're able to win this. So for those of you who have shares of Apple and wondering why it took a dip, that is why the government is targeting them. That's all I got.
All right. Well, you guys put a lot out there. I really didn't have much. Really just wanted to talk about, did I talk about I might be looking for a side team last month?
Mm-mm. Football?
Yeah, I don't know if I can do the Cowboys anymore.
What they do now?
Nothing.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. I just feel like it's not me, it's you. There's no, it's not you, it's me. I don't know what it is, but you know, I think we might need to take a break. You know, so I think I might be a separated. I might be on the market a little bit. I don't know how the separation thing goes, but I might get a side team, at least a sneaky link team or something, because I feel like everybody aggressively makes moves and tries to get better, and the Cowboys just don't. I don't know if we got worse. I know we didn't get better. And it's just for the theme for this year to be all in, it just doesn't, you know.
Well, let's see what they do in the draft. Maybe that's what they're waiting on.
They always wait to see what they do in the draft. And I just I don't get it. So I did, you know, I'm gonna need your support, guys. This is gonna be a rough season for me. I'm trying to new to these football streets, you know,
free agency.
I don't know. Yeah, this free agency thing. I don't know. You know, maybe somebody will get maybe it's cuffing season for me for a football team. I don't know what's to play, but I'm not really feeling the Cowboys right now. And it's hard to break up with them because there's so much history behind that with family and my dad and all that stuff. So we'll see.
I've been spending a lot of time with the Ravens.
We've
just been hanging out though. Official. Just hanging out.
I have thought about sliding their DMs a couple of times, you know. But to me, I gotta see if Lamar can get over the hump. But also, I actually thought about, and hear me out, I actually thought about just becoming a Texans fan.
In Houston, it's very convenient.
Makes it easy, yeah. And CJ Stroud is nice.
I just have a feeling the Texans have a way of messing up a good thing. So I just think I'm gonna go from one frustration to the other. But at least you kind of get to be miserable at home versus traveling to be miserable. But I don't know how that goes. I don't know if there's a conflict of interest. I don't know if I got to sign a. If I have a non-compete, I gotta look at the contract.
What's crazy about Houston? I feel like their coach has almost put himself. I know people think he set himself up to win. He's almost put himself in a lose-lose situation because now he's made the playoffs. So now, if he continues to exceed but doesn't win the Super Bowl, they're gonna say, "Oh, we need to get somebody who can get us over the hump." Mm-hmm. Of course, if he regresses and doesn't make the playoffs, oh, we're going backwards. We need a coach. He has to win the Super Bowl with the type of owner that he has at Houston. So I get your hesitation.
Okay. You know what? If y'all want to talk football, I've had a question. I've been kind of okay. Let's keep the party going. So that's all I got. Rizzy, Sophie.
No, Sophie is at grandma. She's getting ready to go to Disney because she decided she wanted to go to Disney World at the last minute for spring break. And her grandma said, okay, fine. So grandma's packing all the cousins up and they are going down to Disney for the week or to Orlando. I don't know. They'll do Disney. They'll do Universal, whatever. But they're going on a trip in their little rocket ship.
Have they been to Legoland?
Yeah, they've done Legoland. And so she's thinking.
What about SeaWorld?
They've done SeaWorld. They didn't like SeaWorld. Mine didn't like SeaWorld.
So, SeaWorld Orlando?
Yeah. Yeah. We went down there.
They have some good roller coasters. They have I feel like they have the best rides when you talk about roller coasters out of the
they
three.
They do, but the kids weren't tall enough for like the good ones. Like the surfboard one and all of that. They weren't tall enough. So, okay. Or Sophie wasn't, Ollie was. So maybe Sophie hit like a huge growth spurt. So she might actually be able to do it now.
Shout out because Skylar, I don't know if I said the last episode, when we were down there, she got to ride her first roller coaster. And
oh, nice.
She thoroughly enjoyed it. It was hilarious. But, you know, Rizzy, provide us with a good joke.
Cool. So we talk about SeaWorld. And this fits very well. It says, what's the best way to watch a fly fishing tournament? You live stream it.
not as good as last week, but not you've done worse. So yeah. I think last week might have been your peak, though.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
yeah. I don't remember it, but it might have been. It's definitely one of your top three.
It was the cows playing poker and smoking weed or something like that.
Yeah, with the high stakes. It was a high stakes situation.
Poker. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad.
All right.
That needs to replace that painting you see over everybody, all the black people houses with the dogs playing poker.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. That's funny. So I said that might have been your top three. And so I'm going to kick it off this week. I don't know. Did I go last week?
No,
only I took two. Went last week.
Yeah. Okay. So my question, when I brought up earlier about being a Cowboys fan and how hard it's been. So I want you guys to name probably your top three teams in football that it's the hardest or the worst to be a fan of, and you give your different reasons. It's like, man, it has to be tough to be a fan of this team, or it sucks being a fan of this team just because.
Definitely, I got them. You said three, right?
Yeah.
Dallas has got to be difficult because, you know, you guys get it every year from non-Cowboy fans. Like
everywhere.
The jokes I see on social media, y'all don't even be bothering nobody and people just come for y'all. Now, they say it's because y'all always saying this y'all year, but I know a ton of Cowboy fans. I never hear them talk like that. But people say they exist, so I don't know. Whoever those fans are, they're messing it up for people like you, my homeboy JB, and a whole lot of other Cowboy fans I know, because they're always humble. They're like, man, we'll see. Like, that's all I ever get out of them. Hey, what y'all gonna do this year? Man, we'll see. So I never get this bravado that these social media people are talking about. They love the backline.
I feel like it's low-hanging fruit, too. Well, I'll let you continue.
Yeah,
keep going.
Yeah. The second team is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think that's kind of easy and hard, because if you're a fan that thinks your coach is not getting the job done, you SOL, because you have an owner that never fires his coach. You know what I mean? Like, in my lifetime, the Pittsburgh Steelers have had two head coaches, Bill Cowher and my man now, who I can't think of. Yeah. What's his name?
I'm looking at him right now. I see his face.
Yeah, yeah. All the women love him. the women probably answer it right now. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. There you go.
I didn't even get time to Google. I'm like, Mike Tomlin. I don't know how. My bad, brother. It's not a lot of us.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, So if you are one of those fans that like to get rid of the coach, that ain't happening. But also, if you're one of those fans that like stability, then that's the perfect team for you. And then the third team is the Atlanta Falcons. That's got to be difficult. Like, I think no team plays with their fans' emotions more than the Atlanta Falcons. Like, every time it seems like they're going to get there. They Dirty Bird their way to the Super Bowl, loss. Then they had Mike Vick, who was going to come and save the franchise. He likes to fight dogs. And then you get Matt Ryan. He's like, we got to worry about him fighting dogs. He's nothing like Michael Vick. And we're going to go up 28-3 on the New England Patriots. And we got this. We got this. We don't. So that franchise, as a matter of fact, that Super Bowl, as a matter of fact, sums up. It has to sum up what it's like to be a Falcons fan. Because they've had some superstars from Deion Sanders to like Mike Vick and Julio Jones. Can't get it done. They just can't get it done.
So. Yeah. You took two of mine. Like Dallas and Atlanta were on my list. And for those exact same reasons. So I don't want to rehash it. But it's that, right? Like Dallas just, it's too easy to rag on them. They're America's team. And so since they're at the pinnacle, people are going to be on them. My third, though, is the Browns. And it's just because there's no expectation.
Atlanta. So Atlanta's your second?
Yeah, Atlanta was my second.
Okay. But, like, Cleveland is the big joker. That's the big joker right there. Yeah.
Like, to be a Browns fan, it's like, you gotta have, you're questioned, how are you a Browns fan at every turn? Like, why would you want to be a Browns fan? You know you're not gonna win. You know that, like, there's no expectations of winning at all in Cleveland. Like, why would you be a fan of that? And you know, it's not like they make moves. Like, you never hear, like, man, Cleveland got a squad and they got a shot this year. Like, you don't hear that. You know, there's nothing.
Well, I will say they have is he the defensive player of the year or something like that? Miles Garrett. And they got Deshaun Watson, who they probably shouldn't have got, but it seems like he could play. He wound up getting injured. But yeah, you're mostly right, bro. Mostly right. Yeah. So,
like, I don't
really have a decent mascot. Like, what's a Brown?
And at the end of the day, you're still in Cleveland. Here's no upside. You know, like, that's similar to Miami. Like, Miami, the Dolphins are similar, but it's like, we lose a game, we go to Miami and sell it, you know, drown our sorrows. Right. You still got to go drown your sorrows in Cleveland.
Bro, Cleveland had a team, lost it to Baltimore. They win two Super Bowls.
With that team.
Cleveland gets a new team and still can't do nothing. So all they need to do is just leave Cleveland.
LeBron.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my third, man. I don't understand. That has to be hard to be a fan. Like, one, like, I don't see, you don't run across many fans anyway, right? Other than
because they're only from Cleveland. Yeah, they're from Cleveland. So that when you ask how you're a Browns fan, like, oh, I grew up in, Cleveland, or I grew up in Columbus. Like, they grew up in an area, so you see why. Like, there's a connection, right? And so the homegrown, they have homegrown fans. There's nobody in, like, Ithaca, New York, like, you know what? Browns. Like, it's just, you're not in Jacksonville or freaking San Antonio. You're like, you know what? I'm going to be a Browns fan. Now, there are some people who got fooled by a couple of their quarterbacks, you know, that just never panned out. Even though you get, how many top five picks have they gotten that just don't? Because like, they're always bottom of the. How many years was the Browns like defeated?
Like, they've gone through Johnny Manziel. They've gone through Baker Mayfield. They had Bill Belichick at one time, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just bad.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give my three in an order. And of course, and I'm going to save my last one, and y'all know who it is, but I'm going to start with the Bills. They are the Dallas. They're more recently successful Cowboys without the historical success. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a really good team to the point where you're like, this might be the year they can make it and go all the way. And they push further. They get to the AFC championship. They look like real contenders. And yet and still, they still builds it up. Now, I will say that the media gives them a little less scrutiny than they do teams like the Cowboys. They still talk about their quarterback being, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league and all this stuff. But similar mistakes, similar turnover, like for the last couple of seasons, similar turnovers and all that stuff. But I'm not going to make it about the Cowboys. But not only do they get their fans' hopes up, they've always gotten their fans' hopes up. And the thing that people say about like other teams, Cowboys, 49ers, like y'all haven't been in a while or y'all haven't won in a while, it's they've never won. Four back-to-back L's. Like you, how do you lose four in a row? In a row. Some people never go four times in a row. Now they can't get back and they're so close. Just so close. I feel sorry for them. Like it's just, it has to suck to be that good. And just to fall short and like have nothing to fall back on. But I always go back to the Cowboys because people, well, at least we got five. Like you can still like, we got, well, it's been almost 30 years, but we still got five, right? You still got five. There's only one team that, you know, that has more. So still got five. Bills got nothing. And speaking of nothing, the Detroit Lions, bro. It's just hard. And I was rooting for them this year.
I was
rooting for them to do something special. I wanted, you know, if the Cowboys can make it, I wanted the Ravens and the Lions in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, same.
But the Lions are, they've had some great talent over the season. They just never could put it together. They had
That's
one
always
of the
been their problem, though. They get a super talent, and then they don't build a team around them to help them, right? Like, it's been since Barry. It was like they had a team, they built them around them, and then they just like started piecing them out, letting them go. And then after that, it was over.
Yeah. Like, when you say you have, like, arguably the best running back ever, right? And this is when it wasn't a pass-friendly league. That's pass-friendly. Like, it was a running back-driven league. Couldn't do shit with that. Then you get one of probably the most dominant wide receivers of our generation. And you, to a point where you call this dude Megatron. He is a beast. And you had a really good quarterback who, when you say it's his fault, it's like, okay, possibly. Oh, y'all gonna let me go? I can't win the Super Bowl. I don't have what it takes to win. Hold my beer. They literally traded this dude in the very next year. He goes and wins the Super Bowl. Now, is he gonna win anymore? Probably not. But it was like he had the talent to do it. Like, he had the arm strength, he had the play call. It's just, I think it's something about certain locker rooms or certain mentalities. It's just like you expect to lose at the end of the day. And this is a segue. One of my good friends, Ed, who's in my wedding, line brother, roommate, all the stuff, huge Detroit Lions fan. I've seen him suffer with the Lions since I met him in 2000. He's been a diehard fan. And it reminds me of this season. I think this season explains these last two teams the best. When the Cowboys and Lions played, there's only one team I've seen in the NFL that can mess up a game, beat themselves worse than the Cowboys, and that's the Lions. the Lions find a way to lose. And when we were talking about the game, he wasn't even mad. He's like, you know what? When it comes down to the two teams that find a way to lose, it's like, who can mess this up the worst? Cowboys call bad plays. Shouldn't have gave the Lions that much time down the with the ball back. Kick a field goal. They should have got the ball back about 45 seconds. Commentators talked about it for weeks. Lions move the ball down the field. Excellent offense, doing everything right. And they score a touchdown. And their coach called 3 2-point conversions that all failed. That's never happened in the history of happenings. All he had to do was kick a extra point. Probability of that getting an extra point is a lot better than getting a third 2-point conversion. But he, whatever reason. And he was like, bro, nobody can lose a game like us. The only person that can lose a game like us is y'all. So we had to figure it out right then and there. It showed who can do it the worst. And that would have put them in a driver's seat. That would have gave them the number 2 spot and all this stuff. And finally, the Dallas Cowboys. They are the best, worst, mediocre team ever assembled. They're never a bad team. They always have a winning record. They always have a shot. Unfortunately, and I'm not one of those fans that's like, this is our year. But rightfully so, most fans can't believe, like, these guys have the potential to win. Like, they have the talent to win. For the last 10, 15 years, they have the talent to win. They just don't win. It's just, when it comes down to that last game, hell, the last play, they find a way to mess it up. So it's just, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, it's just so, just sticking strictly football is so disappointing because they never live up to their full potential. Then you throw on the fact that everybody loves a bad guy. Everybody has a villain. You were talking about people picking on the Cowboys fans and all this stuff. Like, well, it's all the fans. It's almost like it's scripted on how to hate and why you should hate the Cowboys. Everybody's going to say the same reasons. It's not that I don't like the team. I don't like the fans. I don't like the coach. Who called you? What? Who called y'all America? Who made y'all America's team? And then you haven't won anything in almost 30 years. And of course, every year you think is y'all gonna win. It's the same. It's the same script. I've never heard anybody come up with an original reason they don't like the Cowboys. And it's people who don't even like football. It's your team. You can be a Browns fan, Lions fan, Dolphins fan, all the teams we just talked about, the teams that suck, and you still find a way to talk about the Cowboys. Like, your team is 0-15 right now. And you talking about the Cowboys loss and they're 12-3.
It's because of the expectations, Ferg. We had no expectations to be a winning team. And I think that's the issue, is that you always have that squad that should be a contender. That should make it. And it's just like,
but why? For one, if you look at it logistically, only one team can win every year. Their winning record, they are a winning team. Like, if you just look at the regular, they're a winning team. And my whole thing is, like, I understand they choke. I'm not defending the Cowboys by any means. They choke in the playoffs. But it's like, y'all suck. No, they don't. Like, if you put your record versus their record over the last 10 years, 15 years, the Cowboys probably blow most teams out. Like, they probably have, I would dare say, they probably in the last 10 years probably have top 3, top 5 winning percentages, right? And it's just like, they suck. Not really. The playoffs, they choke. For whatever reason, they choke. But it's just like, you kind of have to feel, because consistently it's like, every few years you have your powerhouses, but every year there's like, if the Cowboys play up, they play like they played all season, they look like they can beat almost any team. This year, there was teams that's like, yeah, you just don't want to see. You know, but for the most part, there's only like 2 or 3 teams that you really fear, or the Cowboys really fear every year. But it's just funny because, like, Stephen A., the worst thing that can happen to the NFL is the Cowboys win a Super Bowl? Because what's the talking point? Who becomes the bad guy? Do you switch like, well, the Cowboys only they haven't won. That's gone. Y'all thought y'all was going. That gone. Who's the team that you make the villain that you, unless you spin and it says, can they do it again? You know, which doesn't have as much, you know, panaz.
It's just you because y'all the Bills? Big. It's because y'all the big guys. That's all it is. Y'all still the richest team in the NFL. Like y'all make the most money. It's like we're gonna go after you no matter what.
But what do you talk about now? Now it just becomes hate.
It's definitely just hate. It's just hate. That's like the people hate on the Lakers,
which I don't see them.
How do you hate on the Lakers?
Don't say the Lakers. I would say. We see a lot of this happening with Alabama.
Yeah.
A lot of this, like, people just...
Yeah, I agree.
You know, they hate Alabama, so...
Yeah.
Even after they win, they still have stuff to talk about.
Yeah, maybe. But I think they hate them for two different reasons, right? Now, they hate Alabama because they're winning, right? Like, when Alabama wasn't winning, they weren't... It used to be USC, and it used to be... the Gators at one point with Tebow. Like it was, so the teams move around. So they're going to hate on Alabama if they don't win for the next couple of years. And then if somebody becomes a powerhouse, they're going to hate on them too. Cause now Saban had this hold on the college football world for a minute, but I feel like Alabama's day in the sun is gone. And the next 2 years, people ain't gonna, they still might be hating a little bit just because there's some backlash, but the Cowboys, because of their piss poor performance in the playoffs and have given people 28 years of to talk about, if they win, the whole thing is y'all think y'all gonna win it every year and y'all haven't won in 28 years. You know, it's who do you talk about then? Who becomes a team? Because the 49ers haven't won a Super Bowl in longer than the Cowboys. You know? The Bills have never won a Super Bowl. You know, it's when you start looking at other teams, the Jets haven't been relevant since we were born. You know, where do you go? The worst thing that can happen to the NFL is the Cowboys win a Super Bowl. If LeBron went on a streak and won like two, three rings in a row, people would be pissed. Just because, well, he's trash. He's all this was like, yeah, maybe he's not Jordan, but his last 3 years, he won two rings. He won three rings. You know, like if he goes out on top, because there's no player you can hate on in an NBA as much as you hate on LeBron. Collectively. You know, so those are my top three. I didn't think about some of yours. I forgot about the Falcons. I feel sorry for them. Cause you know, Atlanta, chocolate city, and black people need something to root for, and they be. it's sad because these Falcons fans be. Cause the Falcons are like the blackest team, so black people
they definitely are.
You know, like the Falcons are like if black America had to have a team as a whole because it's Atlanta, it's the Falcons. And they be hurt. Like, we've seen Bruce hurt so many times. So many times.
Who's the blackest NBA team? Is it Brooklyn? Because they rebranded to be the blackest team.
I don't think people think about Brooklyn enough for them to be the blackest NBA team.
It's beginning to be Minnesota. We'll see what they do in the playoffs. But that Anthony Edwards kid... He got a lot of people hyped, man.
Not necessarily the city. I think it's the feel, the vibe of the team.
The whole league is black.
Right, yeah. That's what I mean. So you can't look at that. It's just like what team.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
what does the team give the feel of?
He is the one that's like going viral with all his dunks and thing. Like he's hip-hop right now.
Maybe Memphis?
They were at one time. They definitely were. Like, just because of where they're located and the and way they played. Okay, that's a good one. Ja been hurt. That's right. I forgot about Ja. Ja, they're up there, too. They're okay, up there,
right,
too.
All right.
They are really black.
I think you got this. You got to start with the city. Like, what are my black cities? You know, like, you can't be... The Jazz can't just be, you know.
No,
like,
they will never be. They will never just, be. You know, never be.
That, the I think that's hell. That's why people hated Karl Malone. Is like Utah. Be. Oh man, wow. Let it tell. Like Karl Malone was a beast. He was a bully. But just because he had that curly hair and was in Utah, I can't rock with you.
Country pedophile.
Oh, yeah. Well, that came out later. All right. Man. Who's up next?
I think it's Obama.
So we talk about flexing on here a lot.
We talk about you flexing, but continue.
And Ferg, and right on cue. Thank you, Ferg. Right on cue. Ferg always likes to act like he doesn't flex. Ask him how much he paid on that vow renewal a couple of years ago. But I wanted to ask.
I hate black people.
We all. I contend that we all have something that we would spend more on than the average person would. And I just want to ask you guys, what is, if you have up to four, what are your Mount Rushmore of spending? Like, we know some of the things that Orazio is in, like with electronics and things. What are some things that you will spend a premium price on compared to what other people may say, nah, that's too much for me. But for you, that's in your bag. And if you want it enough, you'll get it. What's your Mount Rushmore of splurging?
That's a fun topic. Hard.
I might need help on this. Because you know, I don't like spending.
You don't, but that makes the question probably easier, because what things would you go for even if you don't spend, like, you don't like spending money? So what are the things that you will go ahead and spend money on even though you don't like spending money? So it makes it a little easier for you, probably.
I disagree with your logic, but okay.
I'll take the low-hanging fruit, right? The easy ones, like electronics and like gaming systems and stuff like that. Like, I'm always going to have the latest gaming system. I don't care how much it costs or whatever. When it drops, I'm going to get it, right? So that's an easy one for me. I think I will pay a premium when it comes to automobiles. I do buy used, but even when I'm buying used, I'm going to get a nicer car. I'm going to get the highest package or whatever that, you know, for that car, that type of thing. I'm not getting the basic package or even the next level package. I'm going to have like the highest package that I buy with the car that I pick. So that's always a given there. Around the same thing with electronics, not just gaming systems, but like sound systems, those types of things. Like, I'm going to have a really good sound system in the house, like sound bar, surround sound, whatever. I'm going to have a good system. I like that theatrical take on it. The fourth probably for me is, and it might sound small, but like movie theaters, I'm going to splurge and get, like, I'm going probably open weekend for something I want to watch. I go to the movies a lot. And on top of that, I'm going to get the D-box seats or the reclining seats. I'm going to the nicer one or whatever. You know, I'm not trying to go to the dollar movie to see the movies type thing. So I don't know if that's like a splurge or whatever, but it is something. I'm going to pay the extra $10 or whatever it is to go to the nice movie theater and watch the movie with the surround sound and the IMAX and all of that stuff. So, So, and I'm going to get snacks. So, and I ain't even going to sneak them in. So now that is a flex.
So mine are small, if we even call them flexing. So I'll start with one is clothes. Right. Now I don't spend a lot on clothes, But if I want something and I like it, I'm going to get it. And it's not necessarily the name brand or whatever. But if I see something I like if I see a tux, or if I see a suit, or if I see, you know, an outfit or something, I'm like, yeah, I want that. I'm going to get it. You know, like, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to go to KNG and get a suit or whatever. You know, I'm going to go where I want to go. And even if it's not super expensive, I'm going to make it look nice. You know, like, for just because of my body style, I can get a lot of off the rack suits at Express. That's just, you know, my default suit place, because they have a lot of slim fit suits, and I just go get them tailored and stuff like that. And then I'm gonna spend what I need to spend on getting them to fit me properly, right? So my appearance, maybe that's what it is, my appearance as a whole.
Getting your haircuts on, like, every, it's on, yeah, you're doing it no matter what.
My haircuts, I'm gonna spend the money on that. You know, my beard, my, you know, if I need something for my face wash, my beard wash, like, you know, I need to actually cancel or delay my beard treatment stuff, because, like, it's on auto ship. Like, it's just, I found something I like that works for me, and I just like in my hair, and I just need to, you know, it might be a little more expensive than what most people might pay, but I still do it. You know, I pay a decent price for my haircut, and I get it cut quite often. And this is going to be, it's not necessarily one thing. It's kind of like the appearance thing. It's enjoying the moment. And so that's going to be my 2, 3, and 4. So, like, if we go out, where we're at, wherever we're going, I'm going to enjoy the moment. Like, I don't need bottle service, anything like that. But if we're buying drinks, I'm not looking at, okay, how much for this drink versus that drink. I'm going to start a tab. I'm not calculating how much I'm spending. I'm just enjoying my moment. You know, if we're going to the movies, if we're going to a restaurant, we open the menu is open, right? Like, get what you want. You know, now I'm reasonable just because, you know, I don't necessarily have high quality taste on everything, but it's we're going to enjoy the moment. If we're going to go out, you know, I'm going to enjoy the moment. When I get home, I'll calculate. It's like, God damn, you know, like we went to Orlando. There was my budget, and then it was what we really spent. Right. It was, okay, they want to do this, they want to eat that, but we're in the moment. Let's do it. Right. Now the hard part is getting me to the moment. It's like, it took a lot to me get to Orlando. It might take not a lot for me to have a date night or whatever, but it's when I'm there, I'm gonna enjoy the moment. You know, I'm going to go, if I'm going to, like, homecoming, I want to go to the parties that are going to make me enjoy my time. So if it's $75 a head to get in, I'm paying with $75 a head to get in. I ain't paying all that. Okay, well, I'll see you when I get out. You know, it is what it is. I'm going to enjoy myself, because for the most part, I think it takes a lot for me to get out there or for me to do those things. And so when I do those things, I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
Yeah. So go ahead, finish up.
So small things, you know, that add up to a long, expensive weekend or something.
Yeah. I just wanted to amend, when you talked about clothes and stuff, it did prompt me. I will move my kind of sound system into kind of the gaming electronic era and just make that as one. And I'm gonna add in sneakers. I will, like, go get some sneakers at any point. If I like them, I'm going to get them, like, you know. So that's one that it's whatever. If it's $300 for these sneakers and I want them, I'm getting them.
I have to be in the mood. Like, if I'm in the mood, when I make the decision to do something, I do it. Like, when I make a decision to pull the trigger, I'm gonna pull the trigger. But it takes a lot for me to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
You know, shoes. Yeah.
Good stuff. My four, they're kind of like you guys in a way, like, they're broad, but, you know, they are what they are. First is convenience. I will pay for convenience. If it costs 20 to valet, but 2 miles away is half that.
Agreed.
I'm paying the 20.
Right.
I like convenience.
Anything not to stand in the line.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. live events too. I love live events. Like comedy show, concert, sporting event. Those three right there. If it's a live event, I don't mind paying. Now, that boxing fight we went to last July, that went above what I usually like to pay. But you know, I did it. And it was, that trip wound up mostly being about hanging with you guys, man, to be honest, and Sherman and Mike as well. So, but yeah, live events, I don't mind paying for, and I need decent seats. You can call it a flex, but I'm not going somewhere and sitting in nosebleed. I'd rather watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. Nothing against people. I know some people just feel like, hey, I just want to be in the building. That's cool too, because I think I would make that exception if I ever like went to the Super Bowl. Like if I ever go to the Super Bowl and I have to sit nosebleed, so be it. Like I'm in the building. That's a once in a lifetime thing. But for the most part, I want decent seats. I don't want to be way up there where I got to watch the event on the screen the whole time. My third one is kind of like what Rozzy said with the shoes, because, and it's not just shoes, I'll just say hard to get items. Mm. I don't mind paying a premium to get it. Like, so I'm in a work group chat and one of my coworkers is like, man, it's ridiculous what, you know, StockX and some of these other places charge to get these shoes. I'm not paying that when the shoes are really like $150 and they want $300. I'm not doing that. And me and my other coworker was like, I understand, but if I want them, that's what I'm gonna do. Like I like your chances of winning these raffles and all that kind of stuff, they're low. You like, I don't even expect to get a sneaker that I really want. I don't even expect to get it at retail.
Yeah.
I just start looking at StockX and seeing what the going price is for it. But it's not just shoes, like the PlayStation 5. I may have played that PlayStation 5 20 times. But it was hard to get.
It was hot. It is so hot.
And I wanted that motherfucker. I wanted it.
It is.
And I'm not selling it. I'm not selling it because it's mine. And like when I had COVID a couple of years ago, it came in handy. Okay. So, but yeah, just hard to get items. I don't mind paying a little extra, especially if I want it. If I want it, hey. I'm not going to stand in line at midnight to get it. I'm not refreshing three different phones trying to win some raffle. I'm going to just pay the premium to get it. And last but not least, and this is very broad, but and Tabitha has to rein me in on this sometimes, but something for Jasmine. Mm. If it's something for Jasmine, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it for her. A, because she doesn't ask for, well, as she gets older, she asks for more, but by and large, she doesn't ask for much. And so when she does, like, literally, we'll be like, what you want for your birthday? I don't know. I don't know what I want. Like, I'm like, when I was growing up, I wished my parents would ask me what you want for Christmas or for your birthday, because I always had a list locked and loaded. But for her, it's like, she's like, I don't really know.
Because she really doesn't need anything.
There it is.
That's so, what Tabitha probably says. She don't need nothing.
Well, no. So like this tablet, I remember a few years ago, she wanted this drawing tablet. And the one she wanted, man, I think that thing might have been like $1,200. And so when I looked at it, I was like, God dang. And so I showed Tabitha, I was like, yeah, you know, I may just get it. She was like, what? We're not getting that? You crazy? She wound up like finding one that was like much, much less and pretty much did all the same stuff. But yeah, she has to rein me in sometimes, because a lot of times Jasmine say, I want this. And, you know, if it's within my affordability, I will consider getting it. So
she gets what she wants, basically.
Yeah. Exactly.
With the approval of Tabitha.
See, that's the hard part, right? When you talk about within my affordability, that's why I have to like be very careful and rein myself in a lot, is because not much isn't in that affordability range. Ooh. Right? No, no flex on that.
You're not going to say flex on that first. You're not going to say flex on that.
No, no, I didn't mean it like that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I was about to say.
A kid.
Some favoritism going on in
something,
this moment.
Something for the kid happening.
No, that's...
That definitely better start the show off right there. Yeah, Monday, when this episode drops, that's the quote I
want
to hear.
I get what I want.
But I was saying that
because I was like, the thing about it is I have to consciously say, no, I'm not going to get this because it 9 times out of 10, I can't afford it. If my 10-year-old's asking for it, more than likely I can buy it. Right. And it's like, you have to consciously be like, no, I'm not getting that because you don't need it. Right. Or you want it now. You're asking for it now, but 2 months from now, especially Sophie, because her interests change with the wind, she will literally ask for something now, and a month from now, don't even remember she asked for it. Like, you know, it's gone out of her head. And yeah. So you have to kind of be like, you gotta rein it in and think through it before you really say, yeah, I'm going to get this for him. So, and a lot of times they just want the functionality of it. Like with that drawing tablet, right? Like you were going to go spend $1,200 on that tablet and Tab found one that's like $300 that does the exact same thing. And Jasmine
that's
probably
literally
was just
how much
happy.
It was too,
right.
Bro. Yeah, she was. So, and she still uses it. It's like right. 4 years later, she's still using it.
Yeah.
So my last one, I think it kind of was similar to yours, Byron, but it's just not limited to, you know, the kids. It's to see my family happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll pay a premium for that, like the experiences. And that might tie into the moments and stuff like that. Like I said, when we go out to eat, when we go to Disney, when we go to Orlando and stuff like that, you know, my kids, they get a birthday party every year. They just expect a birthday party. And that's what I'm gonna do, you know, and it might not be a huge expense. It's just the fact, because I know people who spend an exorbitant amount on their kids' birthday parties. It was like breakfast at Tiffany's type shit. Literally, it was a 1-year-old birthday party. That was the thing, was breakfast at Tiffany's. But my thing is, I'm going to make sure to see my wife and my kids smile and enjoy themselves is priceless to me. Now, it doesn't always have to be the most expensive thing, but I'm going to find a way to make it happen, you know, unless we make a conscious decision. It's like, hey, we just don't feel like we should give them birthday parties every year because we don't want them to be expectant. You know, that's their expectations, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say we give them until they're 10 and then we do milestone years. So Sky has this year and next year. And then after that, you know, it might be sweet 16 or maybe her 13th birthday or something because she's a teenager, whatever it is, we would do the same for TJ. We're like, okay, Sky had birthday parties since she's 10. Sky, you don't get a birthday party this year because you had 10. TJ only had 5. And we just can keep the party going. But, and I'm willing to, and thanks to you guys, you introduced me to new ideas of ways to, not necessarily cater to my family, but introduce new things to them. Like you talk about the birthday trip, you know? So those are things I haven't done yet, but I'm like, okay, I need to find a way to put that in my budget. Cause I want my kids and my family to experience those things. Like I try to do a trip now. Z's a teacher every year before we go back to school. We're going to do a vacation, you know, let her pick her spot and we're going to do something to make sure before she goes back, you know, even though she's been off all summer. But before she goes back, she has a little kick me off to the school year because teachers deserve a lot. Yeah. You know, so, and that makes her happy.
I know what spending I have reined in. So I took Jasmine to this expensive sushi restaurant for her birthday last year because she loves sushi. Mm-hmm. And we were just sitting around one day saying, you know, so we've been to some high end sushi restaurants. What's been your favorite? And, you know, Tabitha named off hers. I named off mine. Like, we've been to Sexy Fish. We've been to Shoto, Nobu. We get to Jasmine. She was like, I don't know. They've all been pretty much the same. What?
They really can.
Oh yeah,
they really okay. can't appreciate it sometimes.
So I was like, oh, okay, well, that lets me know you gonna be going up the street to sumo from now on.
No, but it's funny you say that. Sushi. One of my favorite sushi spots here in the city is it's like a takeout hibachi. So you don't sit down, but they do hibachi and they create, you know, they have sushi there. Their sushi is probably the best sushi I've had in the city, and that's. Like the seafood restaurants, the sushi restaurants, Rock and Roll Sushi here, all those. But Otero, right up the street from me, is the best. It is, but I'm just saying, like, sushi spots that people think of. But
people love Rock and Roll, though.
Yeah.
They love that place.
So, but yeah, Otero. If anybody in Birmingham, if you're looking for a good sushi spot, check out Otero right here. You can get some hibachi and some sushi, and you're good to go.
Well,
hats off to Rozzy for introducing me to sushi. My first time actually eating sushi. He took me to a sushi restaurant on a vacation we were together. I'm not going to say where it was at just because I don't feel like
he. You don't want to flex?
No.
Was that Egypt? Was that Egypt?
Rozzy called me white. When I told him I was eating sushi. He said, oh, man. You hiking now and you eating sushi? Man.
Did he say welcome to whiteness?
Yeah, he did.
He said welcome.
So I gotta shout out Gus on that. He's the one that introduced me to sushi.
Yeah, man.
You didn't hear Rizzi's flex anyway, did you, Buff?
I did not. Okay. He said something about Egypt and all that stuff though.
Yeah, that's it. That's not a flex. That's a trip.
No, he already has his flex for the show. So,
yeah.
And it's going to be the opening quote, isn't it, Rozzy?
I will make it the opening quote for you, Buff.
All right. Well, fellas, we got two questions in today. I think it's time to wrap it up. Who wants to go ahead and close it out first?
Only thing I got, man, is I was watching the Nickelodeon documentary Quiet on Set. So I don't know if you guys have seen that or not. But it just reminded me, man, to watch your kids. I was watching the fourth episode came out with the kid that was sexually assaulted. And Drake, if you guys don't know, from Josh and Drake. So he was sexually assaulted while on set. And the difference of how his dad saw it and was like, keep this guy away from me. I don't like it. Like paying attention to how people interacted with his son. Versus the mom just like, oh yeah, you can go spend the night at his house, like, you know, and not paying attention at all. And just, folks, watch how people interact with your kids. Watch your babies. You know, if somebody's too handsy with them, touchy feely with them, I coach and I rarely have to touch the boys, right? When I'm coaching soccer, like, there shouldn't be a time where people like all touchy feely on your kids and all of that, rubbing their shoulders and rubbing their backs and all of that. Like, watch what's happening with your kids and watch what's happening around you and be aware, because there are folks out there and you never know until something happens and it's too late. So that's all I got, man. But that one, that documentary broke my heart, man.
I was debating if I was going to check it out. I think I'm going to check it out now. For me, I feel like we didn't talk about it. Maybe we did and I don't remember. But I know. So when we rode the float in Mobile, we recorded with Wooisms like 2 days before. And we had two episodes after that. And then when we came back, I don't recall talking about our experience on the float. If we did, apologize for the redundance. But I just want to say what a great time I had. Riding the float down there in Mobile, Inspire You on air, and several other people that were on there. It was intoxicating. Like, you guys, Ferg and Rozzy, like, I was into it. We all three of us were into it, man. And we did our best to recognize people that we knew personally and hook them up. I know a couple of people like, I was yelling at y'all and y'all ain't hear me, but sorry, we definitely was listening out for you. But so much is going on when you're on that float. And we're already preparing for next year. So we'll be in it again. Skinny Monday in Mobile. That was very, very, very fun. Something interesting that's going on in the Supreme Court to me. We, as I guess you could say, left-leaning individuals, we praise the Biden administration a lot. One of the things that can't be criticized about them is in a different way, they have tried to control the media. Now, President Waldo's administration, shout out to Black Mirror fans, y'all know what I'm talking about. President Waldo's administration, they also tried to control the administration, I mean, control the media in a way, but the Biden administration is doing it by forcing social media companies to suppress certain information and things like that. And it's in the Supreme Court now on whether or not that is infringing on the First Amendment, because on the one hand, people are saying, hey, you have to allow all speech on these platforms because it's violating people's First Amendment. But on the other hand, it's like these private companies, Meta, Twitter, which is now X, all these other companies, they're allowed to regulate what's said on their platform. So is it not violating First Amendment rights when they suppress information because they have a right to say, no, we don't want that on our platform? So that's one of the cases the Supreme Court is hearing. Be interesting to see what happens on that, because I know a lot of people feel like President Waldo was mistreated in that certain platforms hid negative information about Biden versus negative information about him. And last but not least, the late, speaking of Supreme Court, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she has a foundation named after her that awards people each year with, I guess it's like some kind of courage award or something that's like in the image of the type of work that she pushed forward. Well, this year's recipients among them were going to be Elon Musk and Rupert Murdoch. And I remember when I first read that, I was like, that seems kind of odd,
right?
No shorter than a week later, it's like, we're not doing it this year. They didn't like some of the recipients. Martha Stewart, who has been convicted of a felony. Elon Musk, who's a billionaire that people feel like doesn't always do things proper. And Rupert Murdoch as well, who, you know, the owner of Fox News. So they're not going to have any this year because the board members of the foundation didn't like the recipients that were chosen. So,
good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, that's all I got, man. That's all I got.
Oh, one thing before you go. The Freaknik documentary did drop. I talked about X-Men 97, but we didn't review the Freaknik documentary. It is a lot more tame than what everybody was making it out to be. It is very nostalgic. It does talk about the rise of Freaknik and how it changed, right? And how it's all Uncle Luke's fault. They didn't say that in the documentary, but essentially that's what they said, is that it's all Uncle Luke's fault, is how it got so nasty and freaky and shifted and everything. But it kind of goes to show that once something gets so large, it's just super difficult to control it, right? And when you try to control it, you kind of make it worse. The city of Atlanta tried to control Freaknik and they made it even worse than what it was, those types of things. And when you have that much or that large of a crowd, things happen. And, you know, they were like, oh, we had 4 sexual assaults and 2 rapes. And I'm like, we got 200,000, 250,000 people there. Like, chances are, I hate to say it, but chances are you're going to have a couple of those at something that large. So I looked at it, man. It was, like I said, it was a good overview of Freaknik and what happened and everything. And shout out to the homie Maurice Hobson. Mojo, I saw you on there, bruh. Shout out to you doing big things. So
I don't know if he wanted to be shouted out.
No, he was one of the like historians on there. So he was on there like that. Yeah,
you know, it was like,
yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed learning how it began, why it began, and you know what the peak was like, and even learning like what the downfall was. I didn't realize the Olympics played a huge part in it, as well as people our age showing up for something that's meant for college students. So,
You know, we probably would have showed up there next year.
We would have been there.
We would have.
Like, what do you mean? Like now at 40?
No. Our age. Like when we
40-year-old showing up for college age stuff.
I thought you were talking about like, you know, we're too young to drink and all this stuff. But like, 17, 18s. Like, let's. we probably would have showed up in 2000.
Oh yeah, we definitely would have been there in 2000. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we went to New Orleans the day after graduation, so I'm pretty sure we would have been in Atlanta. Matter of fact, we were in Atlanta the next year for Mike's graduation, so we would have been there.
That he was late for, by the way. Shout out, Bruce. What's up, man?
So my things are, shout out to the University of Memphis and some of their demonstrators for booing Kyle Rittenhouse off the stage. He fled the stage after doing a speaking engagement for Turning Point USA. He was there to talk about the Second Amendment rights and how he used them when he brutally shot three people, you know, in self-defense during a riot in, 2020? He was sponsored by Turning Point USA, and more so they were talking about the, I think he's the owner or the spokesperson of Turning Point is Charlie Kirk, and they were trying to ask him how he felt about this person being racist, and so the protesters really started hounding him about questions, and he just refused to answer any of that and said that he didn't know anything about any of those things, and finally just fled the stage. But shout out to the students for standing up what they believe in. And I just always question, you know, that freedom of speech. It's just sometimes it just gets so crazy, right? It's, you know, the university said, hey, we didn't agree with it, but we let the organizations pick who they want to come speak. But sometimes when it's such a crazy world we live in, because I don't support hate speech of any type, but it's so easy to label anything hate speech. You know, if you have somebody who is a pro-black nationalist come and all of a sudden is hate speech, they're anti-white. Hell, DEI is anti-white, and, you know, American history is anti-white. So black history is anti-white. So it's crazy. Shout out to the Mighty Melodic Bloody Up Upsilon Psi chapter of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. We just dropped our latest line, the Courageous 20, spring 2024. So they just had 20 young men enter the folds of Omega. So best of luck. Welcome to the fold, young brothers. And a really quick shout out. I know this, we're getting to the time of the year where a lot of kids are doing standardized testing and stuff for their schools. And there's parents who struggle with maybe being able to afford tutors and things of that nature. I recommend going to check your public library, your city public library's webpage, and see what kind of resources they have. Sometimes we have to look at being both resourceful and looking at resources we have. We have one here in Houston. It's called BrainFuse. It is a great website. We're partnering with them to use it to help our lamplighters study. It's like a homework hotline type thing where they have 24/7 tutors, and there's so many subjects. It's all online, digital, so they can connect and do a virtual tutoring session with teachers 24/7. And there's so many other assets on there about like career building. It's, you know, for adults, resume writing and all that stuff. So there's ACT, SAT prep questions and help that they can get. So anybody who is looking to help your kids become better students, don't just look outside the box. The library is just, most of these libraries don't just have books, right? So go look and see. I don't know if BrainFuse is a Houston thing, but see if it might be a national thing. But go see what resources are out there for you. And this is to the parents, because we had a representative from the Houston Public Library come on and speak to our parents the other day, speak to our kids, but we made sure the parents were on because we know that the kids aren't going to relate this information. I reiterate, go look at your public library's website and just play around with it. I'm quite sure there's some resources you guys can use. I've played around with it for a couple of times. I've sent it out to my niece who's in college, and they have college help courses as well. You know, so she has physics, geometry, all that stuff. They're still on there for her. There's I have somebody whose son needs help with the SAT, and to increase his test scores to get admitted into school, there's a section on there for that. So please take advantage of that resource if you can. If you take anything from the show, I believe the children are the future. Teach them well, help them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Once again, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast, Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.